Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 32 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Clear. 31 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 31 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 28 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Clear. 25 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Clear. 25 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Updated weather. Special weather statement. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Special weather statement. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Clear. 23 degrees.
Mosquito, Charlie, Charlie Papa Tango, anyone listening? Mosquito, Charlie, Charlie Papa Tango, anyone listening?
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Mosquito, Charlie, Charlie Papa Tango, listening. This is KCACBT, I'll be clear.
WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Connected to CMN Network. Special weather statement. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Fog. 22 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Special weather statement. Good morning, 0800 hours. Fog. 23 degrees. Special weather statement. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Special weather statement. The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area. Good morning, 0900 hours. Sunny. 24 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning, 1000 hours. Sunny. 26 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint. Good morning, 1100 hours. Cloudy. 30 degrees. WHCMN, Repeater Flint.
Making it in, but it's weak.
KFASQN. Roger, I was with my bell thing on my HT, so, I'm on Echo Link right now. I was testing my, signal strength, but thank you for responding. I appreciate it. I just made a rat tail. I found out mine was too long, so I cut it out 19.5 inches, and, I think I'm audible.
Yep, they help a little bit. Yeah, you're making you're a little bit better copy on that one than you usually are with the HD, but,
Roger, I was just testing it in different places. Like, I had that rat tail on
the
little top. That was the first one. And then second one, I didn't have a metal pot underneath it. And now I'm going to see what it does when I move it in the middle of my window.
Okay, we doubled it a little bit. They also make an antenna. You can make an antenna with the foil tape. You've got a large enough window. You can place that foil tape and make a dipole on the window, tape a short piece of coax to it, as long as you need, and just tie an ugly silk in the end of it. Put a set of alligator clips on the end and clip it on to the dipole, the makeshift dipole. And then if you've got a standing wave meter, just check it, and you can cut the segments off of a coil tape for like turnips.
Roger, yeah. I want to make some of those antennas and stuff, some of those homemade antennas. I don't have any cold kill cable right now, or any of the connectors, but saving up money to get a cold kill cable with the SMA stuff on it.
Well, what you do is you go on Amazon, and they've got piles of the adapters, and then you go with a BNC adapter, and then or the adapter to go to a 239, and then you just get buy a piece of coax, you know, so many feet long, and then you just knock one of the ends off of a foot and a half, 2 foot long, you know, like a 20-foot piece of coax, and then you've got a short one that you can use for a handheld beam, and then the longer one you can tie an ugly choke in that, and well, you probably want to cut 2 feet, maybe 3 feet off the end, and then you use the longer one, and then you strip that back and use the alligator clips, and then you can pretty much clamp onto anything. But the tape, the aluminum furnace tape on a window for a dipole works pretty good.
Well, I've heard about that, taping it on your window, sorry. But yeah, I've been wanting to try that out for a while now. You probably already know that, I'm using that 3 foot tape. It's an Aubrey antenna. It's not the best quality, but it works. I like it. But yeah, this is the repeater I can hit, the only one I can hit, and I'm audible. And on Simplex, I'm obviously pretty good, depending on where you are, and I've talked to somebody on Simplex, so. Yeah, it was just reminding me when you said it, when you were talking about the alligator clips. I want to get this HF receiver so I can listen to the buzzer and stuff over in Russia. And they have alligator clips. They clip onto the antenna and you can throw it up in a tree.
Yeah, I'm running has an auto tuner. That's all I have. Well, I've got more than that up here. I've got a 100-watt rig and a large street KW and then a 300-watt tuner. They're all both mechanical.
Roger.
You can make
I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that.
You do a half wave over quarter, and then you pinch up the ends, and that way you're not messing with a tuning stub at the bottom, and you leave the bottom unhooked and alligator clip it like that. So you can do your quarter wave next to it in a J. You just have to cut that tape out. It'll be tall enough, you'll have to stick it on a sliding glass door style window, but it works. That'll give you 3 dB. That'll double your radiated power. It'll take your 5-watt PEV up to 10-watt ERP.
Roger, yeah, I'm going to try that out. I've been wanting, I've been wanting to make my homemade stuff for a while now. Just, yeah, the only thing, I don't have those coaxial cables, but yeah, I didn't think that there. I could just buy the SMA connectors, look like you said, a pile of them, and then get a roll of coaxial cable. But, I'm glad my radio managed to get into the repeater. I'm in Emily City, and I can't wait for the WALP repeater to get moved closer where it used to be, because that thunderstorm, or that really bad storm, snapped it, and I think it's like farther in Lapeer, or it's like in a different city, I don't know. But yeah, I can't wait till it gets closer so I can come in better.
Yeah, he's much further. Like I said, if you get one with a 239 on the end like you use for HF, then you can use it for other projects later once you upgrade your license. But you cut like you get a 20, 25 foot piece of with a 239s on the end, and then just pick up some adapters, and then the only thing you have to do at that point is the end where you cut it, you don't even have to solder the connectors on the 239. Where you cut it, you just peel that back, and then you solder that onto the antenna project, or you just crimp your alligator clips down, and then you don't even have any soldering to do if you're using the furnace tape. You can get a roll of that for like $4. And you can use two pieces of it to make a dipole, or you can use one piece and cut it in the J shape that you need, and then you just go up and down it until you find the sweet spot in your tune. But what you're going to need is a cross needle standing wave meter, or if you can't afford that, just a normal standing wave meter, but then you have to graph things.
WHCMN, repeater Flint.
Didn't want to double with you there. Yeah, Roger, I wrote all that stuff down. But yeah, once I get the stuff, because I think that's what I'm gonna do, because that sounds like a fun project to do. I'm gonna look on Amazon, like what you said, find that coaxial cable and that furnace tape and stuff. Well, that's a new project. I ran out of projects to do. I'm soldering lately. Just soldered something today, so another big project. So thank you, appreciate that. And I had a question, does a dipole, like a dipole antenna, does it only like when you transmit, do the radio waves like only go in two directions?
If you're looking at the dipole vertically. Vertical polarization, if you look at it down from the top, it's like a dot, right? It radiates out, looks like dropping a pebble in the water. But if you're looking at it from the side, the field around it looks like a donut. So when it's standing vertical, it's omnidirectional. It goes all the way around like a donut shape. But now if you imagine that turned up on its side so it's flat with horizontal polarization, then the donut stands up. So looking down from the top of it, then you're looking at something that has two lobes. It looks like a figure eight coming out from the antenna with the elements pointing right centered through the donut.
Roger, yeah, I didn't know that. I thought the waves only went two ways because it was called a... dipole, because like when I look at my tape antenna, it's got those two sides on it only, and it looks like, yeah, a piece of tape. So I thought the RF signals only came out on each of those sides, but I didn't know it was omnidirectional. I didn't really look at or research, you could say, like the polarization, even though you think I would when I studied for it for my test, but no, didn't look into it more. But yeah, I was wondering about that.
Like I said, when the dipole stands straight up and down, the donut is around the circumference. Like the dipole rods go up and down through the center of the donut, and right around the center where the coax ties on, there's a donut all the way around. So it's omnidirectional, goes all the way around if it's vertical. You got to think of it like light. So the light would be shining out all the way around it. So if you're looking down on it, it looks like a donut shape if you slice it, all right, at the level of the antenna. But it's a donut. So you got the equal amount going up and going into the ground But when you look at it on the flat plane, the lobes go opposite of the direction the antenna is, and then so it makes it bidirectional when it's horizontal as compared to the plane of the ground.
Roger, yeah, thank you for telling me. I appreciate that a lot. And well, you learn something new every day. So I just learned something. I gotta go. I gotta eat breakfast. So I had a pleasure talking to you. And yeah, have a good rest of your morning. Yeah, late morning. And this is KF8FQN 73 and clear for now.
There's two types of energy too. And they're on a 90-degree plane from each other as it radiates away. And you can capitalize on, like an electrostatic force or a magnetic force, and they're on opposite planes, 90 degrees out of each other. So magnetic loop antennas is something that I built, and I've done pretty well with them. And they're great for tracking people down also. So because there's a null straight down the center where you can dial them right out. Matter of fact, they had something on an airplane World War II time, a shielded magnetic loop that went right on the top of the airplane, and it was about big enough to just about put your head through it, and they could spin it, and they would triangulate with a shortwave station. 73 KV8OLE.
All right, Roger, I didn't know that stuff about the World War II plane, so that's fascinating. KF8FQN73, clear.
KF8FQN73. Are you there, KV8OLE? You calling for me?
Yeah, this is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Sierra, Quebec. I just wanted to add on to that last cue. So Amelia Earhart used one of those loop antennas, and one of the weak points is if you get turned around, your null is on the other side of you. Roger?
Of course, 180 degrees out. Yeah, I post pictures of her often with that antenna, and they're pretty sure they've got her tracked down at this point, and what they've come to the conclusion is she had there was a map in the collection of maps missing that they didn't have with them, and they were trying to get information, and they figured she landed on a beach, and then once tides come in, it pretty much would end up washing the plane out, but they're pretty sure she was on a spy mission on top of everything else. But that's Bendix or something. I don't remember. I wouldn't mind finding one for sure, but I built mag loops that were shielded.
Yeah, that's some interesting stuff. I was scrolling around on the YouTube the other day, and I saw somebody using this antenna array on top of their car with this software called Kraken SDR to, you know, track down transmissions as well. I thought that was pretty interesting, but very different method from the mag loop. All of that stuff is, you know, quite a rabbit hole to jump down, though, if you have a lot of time on your hands to spend watching the old YouTube.
When I tracked down the guy that was accidentally putting music over the lapel repeater, I used tape measure antennas, and I dug pretty deep down the rabbit hole with the Kraken SDR and the switching antenna system. A lot of DIY things, and I got dozens of those things laying around from the 3D printers I was building and the router and plasma cables and whatnot. But anyways, that's pretty slick. Setting up that SDR and the controls on that stuff. It's
a lot quicker than hunting them down with a Yagi for sure, but yeah, that guy was thankfully was stationary. Now, when I built the mag loop, the Hewlett mag loop, the handheld outfit, ferro rods and all kinds of other stuff, I was trying to track down something around my neighborhood, but I needed a SBR to receive a test because it was not frequency stable. It was frequency agile, kept moving up and down the band. I figured it was pot grow lights the neighbors were using. Yeah, that makes sense. Different frequencies for different times of day for the old green plants. That's too bad they didn't have it shielded, though. But did you ever track them down?
He died.
And his girlfriend didn't have it together enough to grow anymore, but... yeah, that was the worst one. There's another one up by the furnace shop, but I don't know what's doing it up there. I don't have the time to poke at it. But that one that was really bad. It kept climbing, and it would start over and over. And if you, because I've got one of those little radio Hermes Light 2s. I've got three of them things, but you could see it on the bigger picture on those where you could see it scrolling up, and it was. There was spurs all the way down and all the way above where I was at, and you could watch them climb. So the next one would come past you, and the next one would come past you. So I needed something that I could put in the palm of my hand, like a ferrite rod, and I could attenuate. Otherwise, I was never going to find it, because you set on frequency and go, and it starts squealing, and then it quit. So it was frequency agile, so chasing that one down was impossible. But I always had between 20 over and 60 over RF hash when I was working HF.
Wow, that's sounds like you got quite a few stories there. I'm like barely a month into my tech, KFA FSQ here. But yeah, I've been playing with the SDRs for a long time, and you do hear some weird stuff on there every now and then, just kind of poking around and listening. But I would like to get to a point where I can at least figure out how to do it, a fox hunt. But, you know, just taking it one page at a time on this learning. But, yeah, hearing these stories is definitely getting me jazzed up to learn it.
There's a couple guys that were plugging at it, but I just got mad one day. And just bought. I had an old busted Harbor Freight measuring tape, and I tell him why how I cleaned the tape, sanded the paint off one end, and then hit it with a real hot iron, and then a harder solder. And then once I got that, I could solder with a 30 watt or a 60 watt iron, and then just make that. You know, I just use plumbing fittings, and then. A night or two later, I tracked the guy down, and he, you know, he was, fuck, my place is in Columbiaville. I'm not there right now, but I tracked him down to over by the airport in Lapeer, and he was just a box on a radio, and he just cranked his stereo when he come home at night. It was in his kid's room, because his kid was a ham, too. KB8OE.
Yeah, that's wild. When I was much, much younger, just playing around with Raspberry Pis and small electronics, I took a copper wire and put it on a GPIO pin on a Raspberry Pi, and like, hey, I made a FM pirate radio station. Well, within a week, there was a cop knocking on the door asking my dad some questions. It was kind of a learning experience. We'll put it at that.
I was telling Wyatt, like, last night or the night before, you got to be careful on here and don't get on the repeater system and talk too much about how we remote things and, you know, leave that to somebody who's got it together enough to learn it, you know, and then, and not too much about, you know, tracking. At the time when you're doing it, you don't want to bother, but you talk enough about it, but while you're doing it, you don't want the, especially if it's malicious, you don't want the person to know that, hey, I'm coming.
Yeah, I'm an old Linux hack, and you know, I've been playing around with web servers and all that stuff for a long time, and I hooked into the All Star system the other day, and I was poking around at nodes, and I realized that if you dial into one node on an All Star, and then you dial into another node on an All Star, you just have a bridge. That's probably not the best idea, and I can't really, I'm not going to describe how I did that, but it was definitely an eye-opening experience. I'm like, oh, yeah, probably shouldn't be poking around like that.
Yeah, talk to the guys that run the machines before you get too crazy. You know, they definitely appreciate a heads up, and you know, generally they'll work with you, especially if you're into those types of programs. And I haven't been into computers in a long time, but I was playing around with Feather and Puppy and especially Nopix and Debian. I used a lot of different types of Linux because I had a lot of dumb computers laying around that I wanted to put back online and run them for a while and learn some of that stuff. And I'll tell you, some of that command line stuff is just, I'm just getting too old, and towards the end of the day, I can't hardly process basic math, and, you know, it's like quadratic equations gets to be very difficult, geometry and those types of things, or even with a third, fourth cup of coffee.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I definitely have those days where it feels like my fingers are dyslexic when I'm trying to type in grep and I keep typing GURP. It's definitely frustrating, but yeah, if you're not in it every day and you're not interacting with computers in that way via command line, it doesn't really make sense to take the time and you know, learn how to operate Vim and all of that stuff. I can respect people having their, you know, specialties and areas of interest, and that's how we all learn from each other, right? We all kind of specialize in our own areas, and then as we go along, hopefully we meet each other and glean some of that information from each other. But yeah, as it goes along, you know, the math and remembering all the commands and stuff. Luckily, they're trying their damnedest out there out west to make that something that the AI does for you. So at least you have that to look forward to.
Gotten to the point now where even copying and pasting sketches for the Atmel's, Arduino's is and using Chirp is difficult.
Yeah, I can only hope that they do more to, you know, help simplify those things. When I was learning all the Arduino stuff and C and all that stuff, I was just like, what's a baud rate? What's a, okay, you know, just going as fast as I can to understand everything. But yeah, when you look back at it and then you have to recall, it's one of those moments where you're like, oh shoot, I didn't write anything down.
The older you get, the worse that memory is. It's the further back memory is pretty easy compared to some of the short term, especially when you got the ADD. But I'm watching my dad get senile. I haven't spoke to him in quite a while, but I don't even know if he'd remember me at this point. Pretty much gone. But you lose a lot of that, you know. But yeah, I'm seeing guys writing sketches just by explaining what things do on the different pins, in and out pins on the Megas and stuff like that on the Arduinos. And I wouldn't mind playing with the Raspberry Pi because I see that they're making like standalone with the Hermes Light too. That's a really nice radio. I use the Thetis because the filters are so nice on Thetis. But I've talked all up down East Coast with like 100 to 300 milliwatts, and then to be able to filter what you're receiving, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. See if it's something I can add to my stack. Right now, I'm just working on a tri-band mobile Anytone, but I think I'm getting out there pretty well over VHS.
If you're going to copy me, I'm just using an HT right now inside the house. But yeah, you're making it in just fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised. I'm out here probably out towards like Heartland a little ways by Fenton, maybe closer to Fenton, but I think I'm pointed at the Durand repeater, so that's quite a jump.
This link system, hold on, let me walk in the other room. I'm probably making a lot of racket. This link system, I'm up in Vassar with an HT with a rubber duck on it. I don't even have, well, I got a long wire up, but I don't have anything set up because we're looking to part with a couple of our houses, and then we're looking for a big piece of dirt somewhere for antenna farm and honeybees and farm and a small landing strip, and I'm not going to do it on a city lot.
That sounds like you're looking for the right spot. I'm I grew up out in the country, and then I had to move into the city for school and work, and finally made my way back out to the country somewhat, but it's definitely not like I can go out on a dirt bike and shoot my .22 kind of country, so that's more up north for me, but someday. That sounds great, though. Antenna farm, a landing strip, beehives. Are you going to do any farm plots, growing any beans or anything?
Nothing like that, the normal garden stuff, tomatoes, carrots, radishes, maybe some beets or something, and sweet corn. That it's been a long time since I've gardened any, and we're up here, you're really, I'm going to probably have to get back into eating deer, I think. To keep a garden. Deer and rabbits are horrible up here. They're just everywhere.
Well, if you're above the deer line, you can get creative with how you get them.
I'll tell you what. I could just about spear one in town right here in Vassar. We're up by the park. But, driving through town, I've almost hit a herd of them. They're all over town. They're north of town, in the tree line up there as you're heading towards, up towards 40. In between here and Frankenmuth, out in the farm fields, there's just...
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot around
cut across
too,
and back to the park.
You know, they're everywhere. A good sight for sore eyes. I feel like
Masquerade on the
river. Over the last 10 years or so,
I'm walking across the bridge one
all
day
over
we come
place.
Into town.
You know, especially with a lot of the chronic wasting disease scares that go on. But, seeing the population come back is good, but it's also a little bit nervous because that CWD is moving further and further up north.
Hold a little bit there. But, yeah, they're all over town. I've seen them walk across the bridge on 15 there, right over the river. You know, a couple times I've seen them on the bridge, but at the campground down there by the railroad tracks, I've seen as many as, like, in that park. And I'm sure they're the same ones that are walking through here.
WHCMN, Repeater Flint.
You know what else I've been seeing a lot more of and hearing is coyotes.
Dozens up here. I keep my eye on the dogs because, like I said, I'm back by the park. So the wood line's back there maybe 200-300 yards. And you go out there in the nighttime and you'll just hear dozens of them going off. And, you know, I can't believe, I've seen tracks through the yard where they come up out of the park through here, but I can't believe they haven't been house cats. There's a lot of house cats running free range. usually they'll eat those.
KBA FSQ. Yeah, we had something last summer come by and grab one of our ducks. I don't know if it was a coyote or a fox or maybe even a raccoon, but the way it looked like it reached through the fence line there and like tried to pull the duck through, it had to have some kind of an appendage to hold on to the duck like with a grip. But it's possible that the duck was just being dumb and sticking its head through and a fox got it, I guess, or a coyote. But after that we put out some of those trail cams, and we definitely caught a good sized coyote out there, so might have been that.
Oh yeah, I was doing some work down there on Ore Creek, one of the expensive houses there just south of, I don't remember the name of that exit. Right here by the apple orchard. Anyways, down south of there, down dirt road, back up in there, I redone a deck that was out over the Ore Creek. And did a lot of other work there too, drywall and furnace work and things like that, but solar door opener for a coop, and he had a hawk killing his chickens, and when they run around, there was a fox that was snatching them up too, but right down there, probably about where you're at. I worked that repeater from down there quite a bit.
Yeah, there's a few around here. There's N8IES, there's W8FSM, KCYGT, I think, out there on Dunton Hill Road. But yeah, definitely a good place for wildlife. And yeah, when it comes to hawks and vultures and all that stuff, they're all over the place out here. We have some camo netting that we put out, kind of like an awning almost, like a lean-to against the chicken coop, so that when the birds are getting harassed by something circling around like that, they can run and hide under there if something's going to swoop at them. But one other thing that we found works really well, better than most things, is just get a couple of geese. They turn into like the guard dogs of the whole fleet. It's crazy.
Got more goose stories and bee stories than I do antenna stories, let me tell you, being raised around geese and them evil swans. Boy, I'll tell you, I wouldn't even want them things around me. Geese are pretty good dart animals for sure. And you'd have to ask our UPS man. We hadn't trimmed the flight feathers off of that bird. And it was about 3 feet off the ground chasing him across the yard, and he cleared the ditch, and so did the bird, and the bird tried to get in the truck with him. That was interesting.
That is too funny. That is too trying to get in the truck with them too. Yeah, they're definitely formidable when they're coming at you and they're doing that skiing along the ground thing, flapping their wings and flying. But yeah, once you've had to vaccinate one or two, you know they're just kind of big teddy bears in a way. They're sweet animals when they know where their food's coming from. We'll put it that way. But yeah, we definitely had an incident like that with the door dasher a while back. He was stuck on the porch, and the birds wouldn't let him off the porch. He had to call us and get help. It was good times.
This bird we had was a banny. It looked just like the bird on the front of the cornflakes box. And that thing, I finally caught him and knocked all the feathers off of one side of wing, all the flight feathers. It couldn't get chest high anymore. So yeah, I went to swinging on that thing.
Yeah.
My dad walked right out with a shotgun and turned him into a feather ball
away with it, or a broom or something. They get too close, they swing or grab at the neck is enough to tell them to.
That's a fact. Them bees are mean. Swans are worse, though. That every once in a while, a couple swans will run somebody down into a pond and drown them.
Yeah, they're, I mean, for the uninitiated, they are definitely terrifying animals. Swans, when it comes to geese and swans, I'd rather deal with geese any day. You know, I was out on a trail out at one of the state parks out here. There was a bunch of kids stuck on the trail because there was two geese. At the end of the trail, you know, I walk up, made some noise, and shoot geese away. Now, if that was two swans, yeah, they'd be coming after me and probably ripping apart the kids on the trail.
Especially if they got them little babies around them, they get violent. Now, one down in Heartland, that I caught an owl in the barn, and it was one of those, I don't remember if it was a great horned owl or just a great big, it was just a big owl. I guess one of them round-headed ones. But, man, that thing got mad, and it was trapped in there. It knew it was trapped, and it flipped its wings open and started waddling back and forth and hissing at me, and I'm like, you know, I don't think I want to fight that raptor today, because that beak, and it would click, and click, 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 like it's snapping its beak. So I didn't test it, because I've been around some pretty large birds, and that thing, although they don't weigh nothing, that thing looked like it would probably take a finger off.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess around with anything that's a carnivorous bird. I had a Quaker parrot, much, much smaller bird, but man, that thing, it could bite. It could hang on and bite, and it would not let go. So I can only imagine a bird with, you know, 10 times the beak size definitely would take a good chunk of meat right out of me and leave it for a pellet for some high school student to inspect later.
Dissect the bird pellet. Oh, yeah, no thanks. You know, that was there was a couple of large hawks and owls down there because that dude's place was back in the trees. Like I said, it was right out over Oar Creek. Matter of fact, the house is kind of too close to the creek for my comfort. I told him he might want to sell that place because especially as mushy as the ground is, and he didn't like hearing it, but, you know, I don't know how the guy got away with building that thing back in the 70s. It was sketchy at best.
Either he knew the right person or he went ahead and did it and asked for forgiveness later. But, yeah, I don't know why you'd want to set yourself up for something like that.
He might even have been the building inspector at the time. I just scratched my head every time I got near the place.
That seems to be a common theme here, though, in Michigan. I've lived here my whole life, and you see a lot of these lake houses and houses built, you know, in flood zones and everything, and they're beautiful houses, beautiful neighborhoods, and you got to, like, ask yourself, like, what are these people thinking spending all this money on something that's just going to be destroyed in one big storm, you know?
Especially right out there in the bay. I watched one time I lived up by the bay, within about 4 or 5 miles of it. And the wind changed, and usually the wind don't come from that way, but there's ice on, and it started piling that ice up on the 5-6 houses over up there by Linwood, I think. I watched that bay clear out 2 or 3 times. When the wind come from the southwest, and that was pretty phenomenal. I never would have believed it.
I think I remember seeing something. What was that called? A seach or something like that, where the storm pulls the water way, way out, like several miles. You can go out there and look at shipwrecks and stuff.
I seen it in the bay was pretty phenomenal. And you see the Big Easy go underwater, you know, there's a storm there that's a statewide or several states wide, and it'll push that water way deep over the levees. But I never really thought about it until I lived up there. KB8OOE.
Yeah, that's the beauty and the scary part of living in this state is you can go up north and find some gorgeous, you know, amazing landscapes, and at the same time get buried in some of the biggest snowstorms of your life.
Now, we had a cabin up northwest of Lewiston, off 38 up there, and, you know, being down here, I didn't know how much it snowed. I knew it snowed quite a bit in Matsalona because I've got a lot of family there. Well, back in the woods, and I had a hard time getting that with me, otherwise how I would have got back. And I thought, you know, I told the other guys, don't be coming out here alone, because something happens, you might not get out.
Yep, my first vehicles were sedans and, you know, little cheap junker cars and all that. And, you know, as I got older, I kind of started to get some respect for four-wheel drive SUVs. I was originally one of those guys thinking, the gas mileage is so much better, I might go electric. And then the winter just beat some sense into me.
Yeah, I remember when the big deal was solar roads, dude, solar roads. And I thought to myself, yeah, I had friends that were, you know, thought that was the greatest idea ever. I said, yeah, maybe for Hawaii or Arizona, Yuma, Arizona, the solar capital, or New Mexico or Texas. The heaters in those things are going to be on more than the amount of electricity they generate a year here in Michigan. Can you imagine?
And not to mention how much salt we put all over the roads. I can imagine how great that is for a solar panel, just to put salt all over it.
David, and that good old Detroit salt. Hey, I'm going to cut you loose. I got to put some more additives here in my crock pot, because I plan on eating some of this stuff coming out of here a little later today. So I'll clear with you, and nice making your acquaintance. Name here is Mike in the Aquilo Echo. And are you a tech currently, or have you bumped up to general yet? I think you said you were studying for it.
This is KF8FSQ, Fred, Frank, Romeo, Echo, Doug. I am a tech. I am studying for my general currently. I'm just a few modules into the hamstudy.org stuff, so chipping away at it, but I'm getting there eventually. I want to get to some HF stuff, and I'm got most of my call sign memorized in CW, but I'm interested in learning more of that as well. So lots to learn, lots to understand. You know, wonderful hobby as it is. But yeah, enjoy your crock pot cooking there, Mike. It was nice to meet your acquaintance. This is KF8FSQ, 73, clear for now.
73, this is KABOOE.
Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN Network.
This is KF8FQN testing. KF8FQN testing.
W8CMN, repeater Flint.
KFA-STN clear.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours.
Clear.
45 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good afternoon. 1400 hours.
Cloudy.
51 degrees. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint.
KCX.
You're connected to CMN Network.
This is KFA-STN. Sorry about the echo. Okay.
W8CMN, repeater Flint. Hours.
Sunny.
51 degrees.
Hey Wyatt, you're pretty noisy, so if you don't get anybody to come back to you, that's why. Really, really fuzzy. WYRC. On the input just by a little bit. Well, it all depends on where the repeater is located. You said 14 miles, but right now it looks like your repeater is further than that. So that's why right now if you know, like northwest of you. But anyway, that's the reason why. So just
location, location, and the height and all that. But like I say, we'll get here one of these days. 7-3 on WAYRC.
Okay, I'm sorry if I repeated this 2 times already. I'm an echo link right now. My radio, I was making that system, but I guess it wasn't transmitting. But like I said, I didn't know the repeater was that far away. I didn't know the repeater was that far away, and I did not know. I think it's in like Maysville or something. But hopefully this spring you guys can get it set up where it used to be. But anyways, I had a pleasure talking to you. And also thank you for telling me my signal strength. But 7-3 and this is KF8-FQN clear.
Tell me to call again there, Wyatt. I thought I had it right. I guess I didn't.
Yeah, my call sign is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec November. That is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec November, KF8-FQN.
Yeah, I just kind of seeing where you're at compared to me. I can hear you on the input, but my antenna's up about 70 feet too, so makes a difference. But, no problem. We're working on it. Hopefully we'll get in here by spring or close to it. Takes a lot of big project. Never know. The repeater where it was located at Maple Grove, you would have had no problem getting into it. But we'll see what we can do about that in the near future. 7-3, I got it run. WAYRC.
So the repeater wasn't where it used to be located in Lapeer or Maple Grove? Is that where it is right now, Maple Grove?
If it was there, you wouldn't have a problem, but that's where the antenna was for many years. And then had a strong wind or tornado or something, but anyway, folded it in half. But the building's still there at Maple Grove, where you see on the east side of the school, you'll see the building still there. There used to be, I think, it was 100-foot or at least 100-foot tower there. But yeah, the wind took that down, so that's why it's all down and out right now.
Okay, Roger. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was. I forgot it's Lapeer County Amateur Radio Club, and it's not Lapeer, like, the city. I always thought there was located in Lapeer. I don't know where Maple Grove is, to be honest, but, well, again, I had a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for telling me all that. I thought that the repeater was in Lapeer. But, this is KF8-FQN 7-3 and clear.
Are you down by Summers and Newark area?
Yeah, how do you know that?
I was looking up on QRZ and I see your place there. Anyway, got a pool on the backyard. Yeah, from where that location, you're definitely hiked from the repeater, so we get the receive site back up here, that should help you. Now, can you hear the repeater okay, or is that coming in fuzzy too?
Depending where I am, without a rat tail, in some places, like outside, I can hear it, but I hear the repeater decent. I'm outside right now, and I'm listening to my radio, and I can hear it, but in my room now.
Okay, Okay, so if we get a receive type back up here, you should be okay. So we'll work on that part. Anyway, 73, and catch up to you later. WAYRC.
Roger, pleasure talking to you again. You have a good rest of your day. This is KF8, FQN, 73 and clear.
Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint. Good afternoon, 1600 hours. Sunny. 52 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, Repeater Flint.
Make your announcement again, Brett. I just brought the VHF link on. KVSWR.
This is Kilo Delta 8 Romeo Hotel Bravo, taking Thrunet check-in for the Michigan Amateur Radio Public Service Cornet. If you are listening on the Central Michigan Emergency Network link repeaters, you may also check in on this net. Please call 88RHB.
This is Kilo Echo 8 Whiskey Oscar Juliet.
Kilo Echo 8 Whiskey Oscar Juliet, Roger. Got you at the lift, so thank you for checking in. Out. Thank you. I got you at the lid. You're loud and clear, over.
Roger, you are loud and clear also. Out.
November 8, Echo Romeo Lima. November 8, Echo Romeo Lima. Roger, you are loud and clear. I got you at the lift. Thanks for checking in. Net standby for the start of the net. Out.
This is
an AWRL section level net. Regular participants include your section officials, MTS officials, assistants, and representatives from these groups. This is 88RHB. My name is Brett, and I hold the position of District 5 Emergency Coordinator. From the pre-net group, I have the following stations listed. November 8, Oscar Bravo Uniform. Kilo Bravo 8, Sierra Whiskey Romeo. November 8, Bravo Zulu Romeo, in and out. Whiskey Bravo 8, Tango, Quebec Zulu. Kilo Echo 8, Delta Oscar November, in and out. Kilo 8, Juliet Bravo Delta. November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. November 8, Hotel Echo Echo, in and out. Kilo Echo 8, Romeo Romeo Foxtrot. November 8, Quebec, Yankee, Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Sierra, Quebec. Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Juliet. Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha X-ray Bravo. November 8, Echo Romeo Lima. Those stations need not check in again, but other stations for the net, please call.
This is November 8, November Oscar Romeo. No traffic.
November 8, November Oscar Romeo, Roger. Got your head on the list. Thanks for checking in. Our other stations, please call. Okay, hearing none. Max is off this week. He checked in and out. So I'll start off today. Basically, not too much going on. I do have a Skywarn Officon meeting Tuesday night here locally in Kellen County. Get to meet with a group and go over things with them. Other than that, I hope to have a District 5 EC meeting next week, Monday, and hope I haven't had one face-to-face in a while, so hoping to be able to do that. And then there's the first weekend there in March is the interoperability conference. So that's about all I have, so we'll go ahead and get started. Here at the top of the list, so November 8th, Oscar Bravo Uniform. Go ahead with your comments, Mike.
I don't really have any. I'm glad to see the warm weather here. It's nice to be able to walk outside today and not have to have thermal everything on, and I'm sure everybody else agrees. Now we get to go through the mud phase, but thank you for being that control. Now I'll be sitting here monitoring if I'm needed. Any OVU.
All right, very good, Mike. Yeah, I can't agree more. Thanks again for getting things set up. Next on the list, Kilo Bravo 8, Sierra Whiskey Romeo, Jeff.
Evening, Brett, and everybody in the net. Yeah, thanks, Mike, for getting it set up.
just trying to get some stuff done outside, so heard the net coming up, and here I am. A lot going on locally, not a lot on the public side, but a lot of stuff in the works, so we'll talk to you later. Keep it up, Sevier.
All right, very good, Jeff. Thank you so much for getting the VHF set up today. Thanks for everything you guys do. We really appreciate it. All right, we'll take the next one on the list is WDATQZ, and then we'll take a standby. Go ahead, Mike.
Good afternoon, Brick, 88RHP and Michigan Air PSC. That's WDATQZ up here in Rogers City, ECO, Prince Kill County, and Max, MITN Net Manager. Well, activity on the nets is moving along fairly well. Propagation is getting better more of the time, and we're certainly glad for that. The weather, we've finally gotten a break from some rather extraordinary cold. I guess it's going to last for 3 days. I have heard varying estimates of a weather event midweek, anywhere from next to nothing to maybe 6 or 7 inches of snow. So we'll be curious to see how that plays out. That's all to all the news here. Thank you.
All right, very good, Mike. Got to hear you twice today, this morning on the mat, and here we are now. So good to hear you again. Thanks for checking in, and good signal this afternoon from you. All right, we'll take a quick standby. Is there anyone listening that wishes to check into the Michigan Amateur Radio Public Service Cornet? Please call KDRHB.
W8CMN, Repeater Flint.
Okay, hearing none. Back to the list, Kilo 8, Juliet, Bravo Delta. Go ahead, Jim.
KGBD in the net. This is KGBD. Name is Jim. I am EC for Washtenaw County. Thanks for taking that. Appreciate that. There's not too much going on here right now, but starting to beginning of March, things start to crank up. We saw their first siren net, so we go through and try to go through and find all the busted sirens. Usually find three or four that have an issue every year. So we try and find those out. We got a great group of people out there working on it. We're going to try and set up some in-person meetings for some of the people, starting with our RACES group for the county here. Those are basically county vetted. So those are the ones to go to first, and we'll also work down through the areas thing and see what's going on. Currently going through and sort of pounding away at the Michigan Volunteer Registry. We're trying to get that set up here. Thanks to John Bloom, the NX08 or DEC for District 2, and that'll give us some extra goodies for helping to activate people if we need to in the future. Been working on that. Looks like it's going to be a good thing. Other than that, it's been a nice sunny day, nice long dog walk, and starting to get ready for my hobbies during the spring.
VHF Hub, disconnected. TOTDIS. VHF Hub, connected to Flint 38. Mackinac City, VHF, disconnected. Good evening, 1800 hours. Clear. 45 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 1900 hours. Clear. 41 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours. Clear. 38 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Currently connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 21 hours. Clear. 38 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 22 hours. Clear. 34 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 23 hours. Clear. 32 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN Network.